Listener Production.
Geopolitical tensions send US stocks lower.
And Aussie shares expected to open higher on Monday after the stock exchange posted its biggest weekly decline since September 2023.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Monday, the 22nd of April. Welcome to the CommSec Market Update. Ryan, a weekend can be a very long time in the markets under the circumstances that we navigate at the moment. Geopolitical tensions at the forefront of every investor's thinking. It was a difficult night for US stocks. The NASDAQ finished down by 2.1% on Friday. The S&P 500 was down by almost 1%. And the Dow Jones stood out with a gain of a little over 0.5% for reasons that we'll get to. But how do you think that this is all shaken out, given what we know Monday morning and everything that's happened?
Well, Tom, the great market rally of 2024 looks like it's dangerously close to unraveling at the moment.
Oh, he's called it.
We've seen US Treasury yields break out, Federal Reserve hawks ascendant, Middle East strife flaring, and we've just seen the most money pulled out of equities and junk bonds in more than a year.
So I suppose given the strength of the markets in the last two quarters, it was inevitable that there was going to be a consolidation, but this has been a rather abrupt one. But we've always said that the second half of this year would be when investors would have to roll their sleeves up, and perhaps that's happened somewhat prematurely. Let's just unpick the geopolitical situation, because that was used as the catalyst. But, you know, when you get beneath the surface of the markets, perhaps it's not looking as bad.
Iran played down a reported Israeli attack on its soil, and that's really a sign that the escalation of hostilities in the Middle East might be avoided. So there seems to be a lot of grandstanding, a lot of symbolism.
It's a very optimistic view.
It's a tinderbox. Let's not get away from that. But clearly what we have seen so far is no widespread casualties and not an escalation. So it's a bit tit for tat at the moment.
Why don't we just quickly reflect on how these markets performed over the course of the week and then try and line that up with the headlines. So the Dow Jones actually did very well. It was only down 0.1% under the circumstances. The S&P 500 fell by 3.1%, and you had the NASDAQ down by 5.5%. So are they the sort of prices that you would expect if an imminent big conflict is expected in the Middle East?
I think there's a bunch of other reasons involved in all this, Tom. So
precisely, that's the point that I'm trying to get to.
Biggest weekly decline in the S&P 500 since March 2023, and the NASDAQ had its largest weekly fall since October 2022. But we did see the S&P 500 fall every day last week as the top seven tech behemoths closed nearly 8% lower. So is the AI trade coming off, the artificial intelligence frenzy? All will be revealed this week. We've got earnings results out. We've seen equity volatility climbing. And fueling the reversal is the uptick in tensions that bulls may be less inclined to brush off after ringing up trillions of dollars in trading profits since October. So we've seen a strong rally, as you mentioned. But of course, what's supplanted recession fears in the United States now is the fact that inflation appears to be sticky, and we have seen commodity prices surge. Economic data remain stubbornly hot in the United States. And then we've had speakers led by Jerome Powell, the chair of the US Federal Reserve, pour cold water on hopes for long-awaited cuts in interest rates or a pivot in monetary policy. So with its backdrop, it's understandable that share markets have sold off, and we have seen more defense and caution enter risk markets.
There are so many high-pitched, hyperventilating headlines on Friday afternoon about what was going on in the Middle East. And if you take that out of the picture, you could have still seen these price movements regardless. And to your point about the stickiness in relation to inflation, it came home to roost most acutely in the interest rate sensitive parts of the market. Have a look at some of these moves, right? Nvidia down 14%, Micron and Marvell down 12%, 13%, ASML, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, each of those stocks were down 11%, and Broadcom and Advanced Micro Devices down by around 10%. So is that just aggressive bloodletting, or is it a safe haven move?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. So the first one is that the 10-year US Treasury yield has pushed back above 4.6%. That's 40 basis points above the so-called earnings yield of the S&P 500. And that gap, which is a rough basis for valuation, known as the Fed model,
it means that interest rates have gotten to a point where they are now competing more attractively with stocks.
If you look at that earnings yield, at the moment, that gap of 40 basis points, That's the least favourable for equity since 2002.
We're still waiting for the New Year's Day sale when it comes to stocks. They're still a bit punchy in terms of price. And you will potentially see a recalculation of that relationship between bonds and stocks if that inflation question in particular is not resolved.
This week is critical. We've got Microsoft, Meta, Google parent Alphabet and Tesla, all of which are part of the Magnificent Seven group of tech giants. They will report this week. And we're coming off the worst weekly drop for the NASDAQ 100 since November 2022. We saw, as you mentioned, AI darling NVIDIA lose 10% on Friday. That wiped out $212 billion US dollars in market value, its worst day since March 2020 when the pandemic first happened. So profits for the Mag 7, which includes Apple, Amazon and NVIDIA, the forecast to rise 38% for the first quarter from a year ago. So that is going to be critical this week, those results.
And those results come at a time where investors are going to be a lot more discerning potentially than they were a couple of weeks ago. So let's just quickly reflect on what happened in interest rate land, because in a dynamic where you are most concerned about inflation, to see the bonds up by 10 basis points where 2 and 10-year treasury notes are concerned, that's not a big move. They're just basically up against the ceiling of where they've been lately. So close to 5%, as you rightly point out, in the case of a 2-year government bond, just above 4.6% at the moment where a 10-year is concerned. Actually, a 10-year is not that troublesome under these circumstances. Again, you know, it's a hot market, isn't it?
It is. So you talk quite rightly about the levels. 4.6 and 5% seems to be the levels at the moment for the 10-year and 2-year respectively. And while we have seen some safe haven demand for treasuries and the US dollar on the back of the presumed Israeli attack on Iran, it was quite a stable backdrop considering the market was quite volatile on Friday. And of course, we had Chicago Fed President Austin Goolsbee. He said progress on bringing down inflation has stalled this year. So once again, we've had another Fed speaker come out and basically douse expectations for rate cuts. So we're now pricing in just 40 basis points worth of rate cuts for the rest of this year in the United States.
And that is a very important statement. Like, the progress on inflation has stalled. If that mindset starts to take a hold more broadly, you have got a vastly different atmosphere in the markets. So let's just quickly reflect on what happened where European markets are concerned. We won't dwell on these indices too much. But by comparison, the Stoxx 600 index down by only 1.2% in weekly terms. It fell modestly on Friday, down by 0.1%. The FTSE was up by 0.25%. The French market just in negative territory. The German DAX down by 0.6%, but that took it to a 6-week low. What's really helping the Europeans, Ryan, is it not the fact that they are expecting a June rate cut?
Yes. So ECB President Christine Lagarde said the Eurozone inflation is likely to fall further and interest rates could be cut. So there's expectations for rate cuts in June. That could come before the US Federal Reserve. That has supported markets. We also saw L'Oreal jump 5% after beating expectations with a strong rise in first quarter sales. So certainly a few people have been buying their cosmetics, Tom.
Well, look, they're the small luxuries that are often said to hold up under difficult circumstances. But the futures are pointing to a gain of just under 0.5% for the ASX 200. Not a bad outcome under the circumstances. There's been a fair bit of firmness where commodity prices have been concerned.
We saw the US oil NYMEX price up 0.5% to $83.14 a barrel. Gold futures rose 0.7% to $24.13.80 an hour. And iron ore was up 0.3% to $108.25 a ton. Tom, today, COMSEX released its State of the States Economic Report Card. South 32 issues a quarterly production update. The People's Bank of China announces loan prime rates, and SPY futures are pointing up by 27 points or 0.4%. The Aussie share market lost nearly 3% last week. And as I mentioned earlier, posting its biggest weekly decline since September 2023.
The Aussie dollar has firmed overnight. It's trading back to 64.3 US cents. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. This podcast is prepared, approved and distributed in Australia by Commonwealth Securities Limited, ABN 60067254399, AFSL 238814. The information does not take into consideration your objectives, financial situation or needs. Consider the appropriateness of the information before acting and, if necessary, seek appropriate professional advice. Listener.